whenever you go to a conference, and I, you know, I know we set a theme for, or I set a theme for our conference, you never really expect, at least I don't, for anybody to stick with the theme. I always like it when the Lord works in the hearts of the preachers, and they come up with their own thing, or they don't come up with their own, but the Lord moves them, and you can see in their sermons how they click and link and come together. And I tell you what, even within the realm of a theme, the sermons not only linked together, but they did so in a way that was kind of progressive. Like, we started off talking about decisions. And I was thinking about Brother Dennis's devotion. You know, we sat here and we heard his desire and his heart to share the gospel, share his faith with others, and how easy it is for us to do so. And I thought, with everything that I've heard over the last few days, how important it is to take things just like that, put them into place in our lives, to do something with them. Just an amazing thing, not just to be encouraged, not just to be told, but to be able to take the things that we are told. I can see the baby and I am distracted. She is so beautiful. Anyway, back to task. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, we've talked so far about stress, what to do about it, how we can get things out of it. And this Sunday school lesson is going to be along those lines. How do I get something out of a stressful time? And more often than not, when we're going through stressful times, God gives us things in that stress that will help us solve the problem or will help us forbear it. Now, and there's going to be some things out there. We talked about what causes stress. Stress could be a very high workload. It could be low resources, high output kind of a situation. And then there's that other side where bad things are happening. There's absolutely nothing we can physically do about it but to go through it. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. What happens when we are going through times of suffering, or what can I do during times of suffering to eliminate the emotional friction that comes from it? How can I keep my good mind when there are things happening and there's nothing I can do? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, which all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Now, we have to remember, what is Corinth? Corinth was a Greek city, but really the least of all Greeks, because it had a lot of different influences on it. There was a lot of Italian influence. There was a lot of Roman influence. There was just kind of a mishmash of people there. Remember their goddess, Aphrodite. Remember the number one export out of Corinth, and that was prostitution. Remember the letter that Paul just had to write to them and the problems that they were having in the church. Remember what's going to be in this letter. Paul having to defend himself against people who reacted poorly from the first letter and from their meeting of him when he was there to first institute that church. So when we see the opening of this letter, we see the magnitude of his words. Paul was very careful. He was very good with words. But he was not, he was not very southern polite. Paul was often referred to as harsh, right? You know what I mean by southern polite? When somebody is rude to you, so you pour on extra charm.
Right, you know that phrase, bless your heart? My teacher used to say that to me all the time, bless your heart. Took me to where I grew up and actually talked to some of my relatives and realized that that wasn't a real blessing. They were saying something very specific about me, right? My teacher would ask a question, I'd raise my hand, I'd get the answer completely wrong. Oh, Matt, bless your heart. Then I grew up, I'm like, yeah, my teacher always used to say that. And I got to figure, you know, she must have really cared for me. And some of my relatives cracked up. No, that's not what she was saying. But Paul wasn't like that. Paul didn't mince words. He didn't butter things up and make it nice. He spoke plain. Right? So when we look at this introduction, we see that as he's talking about comfort, and he's talking about how we're saluting you, he is actually coming to them with some genuine love, because for all of the harshness that was Paul, Paul didn't play games. Paul knew what God expected, and he had the ability to meet God's expectations, especially when it came down to things like forgiveness, forbearing one another, and using a soft answer. So Paul responded to a lot of the criticism with love, because many of the in the church didn't have angry feelings towards Paul. There was a small rabble, no doubt, and he wasn't going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. He was going to embrace the entire church out of the same kind of love that we are called to have towards each other. But in his words here, he speaks of comforts and how we serve the God of all comforts. When we were sick and poor Melody started to come down with it, you know what she did? She came right over to us. She put her arms around us. And for me, she stayed right there with me the entire time. Just head down. We were watching cartoons, you know, and I was just trying to keep her entertained. But she just, and then she'd leave me and she'd go to Mommy and she'd just be hugging on Mommy. Isn't it beautiful when kids are that age and that's Mommy? Right? Everything is about hanging on, getting that warmth out of Mom, getting that comfort out of Mom. Then they grow up, and they become cantankerous. I don't feel good. I understand, buddy. Here's some medicine. I don't like it. It doesn't taste good. And they're just miserable. And then we just kind of stay that way, you know? In our times of suffering, we need to know where our source of comfort needs to be. You see, it's one thing to go all John Wayne on it and think, well, okay, well, the Bible says you got to be tough, you got to roll with the punches, you just got to keep... No. It's perfectly acceptable for you to go to the Father and request comfort. You know, I told you before, Roger Bennett, he in his book, Midnight Meditations, many of his thoughts were, if I could just sing a song, okay, if I can't sing here in this hospital bed, maybe if I could just pray, if I could lift my head up and I could get down on my knees and I could pray, maybe I can't get out of bed, maybe if I could just lift my head up, if I can't lift my head up, maybe I could just be here quietly for a few moments with my eyes closed, and if I could just get to the Father, I get some comfort. See, we forget that in our childhood. We forget the feeling or the desire to run to the embrace of our Father. We have a Heavenly Father who is not untouched by our infirmities, who watches us, loves us. And as He cares for the sparrow, how much more would He care for us, the Bible says. God is not some cold deity. He is not some heartless parent up in the sky going, well, that's the way of things. He loves you and He cares for you. And much as a parent watches their child in illness, He does the same for you. Verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. The Father of mercies. Lord, I'm going through this hard time, and I would really love some mercy. So we ask of Him, Lord, take this away from me. Did not Jesus Christ Himself show to us in His prayer, Father, if it be Your will, let this cup pass from me? Now, here's the thing. Jesus knew when his time was. You pick up on it, on how he would act sometimes. They would come for him. Oh, no, it's not my time. And something would happen and he'd be out of there. Jesus had a tendency to know when his time was and when it wasn't. He went with them. He knew what Judas was doing. That prayer was prayed to teach us something. Father, if it be your will, take this illness, take this situation in my family, take this situation in my finances, take this situation with my car, my work, my dog, my whatever. Lord, if you just take it away from me. Now, we can't expect that of him because sometimes we've got to go through the hard stuff. Sometimes you got to take the medicine. But I do believe he could. I do not, as the Bible says, ask amiss. Going, why? You know, I really don't think he would, but I'm told to ask, so I'll ask. No, Lord, please, I want you to take this out of my life. Lord, I see somebody struggling over there. I'd like you to heal them. We are to come boldly. Not apologetic, not doubtfully. Remember, a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Lord, please, take this from me. We see that he is, we see in him his mercies. We also see that he is the God of all comfort. Well, I don't see anything that would make me feel better. Sometimes I'll be trying to figure something out. Something's not working right. I'll be struggling with something. My wife's really good at coming. Is there anything I can do to help? And I appreciate that. But my consternation is such sometimes that I don't even, like Danielle, if I knew what I needed, I'd be a lot further than I am right now. I would. I wish I knew what to tell you I needed. And we do that to each other too, don't we? In times of deep trouble, we come to each other, hey, what can I do for you? And oftentimes we're just kind of sitting there going, great, now I've got to decide what I need. I don't even know. Hey, I'm here for you if you ever need anything. I wouldn't even know what to ask for. But God is the God of all comfort, even the comfort we don't even know to ask for. The compassion and the mercy and the gifts and the love and the, just again, that word comfort sums up so many things. There was a story told of a woman badly injured to her brain, and she woke up from her coma very weak. And they asked her, well, what can we do? What can we do for you? She goes, I don't know. She goes, but I think I can pray. And she prayed this prayer. She says, Lord, I don't know what to say. Just stay close to me. Stay close to me. Now, a Southern Gospel songwriter, took that and turned it into a song. And the chorus of that song says, as I journey, Lord, stay close to me as I journey through the darkness of the great unknown. There's a lot of things in our lives we're looking at it going, I know what I'm going, but I don't, this is too complex for me. This is too heavy for me. And there's the Lord lifting that burden up for us. And we're like, wow, it is going to be okay. Because there is that moment in the situation when we rely on the Lord, when we turn to him and we say, Lord, please come into the situation. I know you're here. I know that you are in all things. But Lord, I am turning my attention. I am turning my faith over to you. Whatever happens in the situation, I know is happening because you're in control of it. And I give it and my reactions to it to you. There is that moment, excuse me, where we feel the burden lessen. When the trial becomes easier. And we go from, I don't know what's going to happen, to whatever happens, it's going to be okay. Because that's what God can do. We serve the God of all comfort. And you see, it is very hard for the carnal mind to understand that until we are in it and we see, yes, this is bad. Yes, this seems unmanageable. But I've seen God work. And I know that even in this storm, we're going to be okay. Think about Paul. When he was on that ship, and he was sitting there quietly, he said, hey, I told you guys, we shouldn't have left. We weren't supposed to sail. We sailed anyway. I warned you, but hey, don't worry about it. We are going to lose the ship, but we're going to survive this. Remember that? That is a hard situation to be in. That is hard. Right? To know that you're going to see the boat destroyed underneath you. You're going to end up with a belly full of seawater. You're going to be choking on this stuff for the next few days. But you're going to be okay. That is some strong faith. That is somebody who's walked with the Lord that can sit there and say, I could lose my life. I could lose all the things in there. I could struggle this way. I could lose that. Or whatever happens, I know this, that it comes out with me face to face with the Father, or me here on earth with whatever God says I need in life. Either way, I'm cared for. Either way, I'm cared for. The carnal mind doesn't understand it. But those that have walked with the Lord, those that have put their trust in Him, they know exactly what that's like. They know what it's like to hurt that way and still somehow have joy and peace. We serve the God of all comfort. Now, if we look at verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Have you ever had your heart broken, or you went through some season of suffering, and the Lord brought you through it, and you're stronger because of it, and it was awful, but you're stronger now because of it, and you see somebody sailing into it? Your exact situation before, and you felt the sudden urge to dive into it with them. Hey, listen, I see what's happening. I understand. I want to let you know that I'm praying for you. I'd like to pray with you now if I can. Hey, listen, let me help you in some way. Let me share with you the verses that the Lord showed me. Let me tell you the lessons I learned. Hey, listen, here's some phone numbers for you to call. A doctor that I know of, a this or that. We're rushing in and we're there to help them and comfort them. And we've got the note cards going and the flowers and the balloons. And we're doing everything we can to comfort them. That's biblical. That's what we see here in this verse 4. Right? As I am comforted, right? Who comfort us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Hey, what you need right now is the presence, is to feel the presence of the Lord in the situation. Of course He's here, but you need to see Him. So here, let's pray together. Here are some verses to help you, to calm you, to bring to you that comfort. And oh yeah, by the way, let me pour out my love on you to make you to feel better, to give that comfort as God did for me. Let me now do for you. You see, we always have opportunities to be a comfort to others, but our suffering has a special way of teaching us how to do it specifically. There was a heartache that my wife and I went through, and we're sitting there, we're struggling with it, and I had a friend who just went through it, and I've told this story before. They came rushing over to me. Hey, Matt, listen, I don't know much of what to tell you, but I'm going to give you a hug, and we're going to pray together. I want you to know I'm right here. Let's talk about this from time to time. And I go, okay. And I tell you what, it was a comfort. It was a comfort. And then I got the opportunity a couple of years later, a friend was going through the exact same thing, and I knew exactly what to do because God had dealt with me and my friend had dealt with me. And I took those tools and I brought it to them and said, here, this is what you do. And of course, we always wish to not have the hard times, but hey, we're going through them anyway. Let's open up the toolbox. Let me be a help to you. Let me be a guide to you. Verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Because of the things Christ has done in and through you, you're now able to help others. Like that devotion we heard this morning, sometimes the greatest comfort that they need is salvation. Sometimes what they need is godly encouragement. Sometimes what they need is exactly what God gave you when you were suffering. Christ suffered for us so that as we suffer, we can give comfort to others. We can provide a source of life to others. Verse 6, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Now, this is very wordy, but very simply, I like to use this illustration. What do you do, and we've done this in our church, what do you do when you've got too much corn? You bring it into the church, don't you? What do you do when you grew too many tomatoes? You bring it into the church. What do you do when you're making this or that and there's just too much? What do? We bring it into the church. Hey, that's good. Some of you are really good at that. Yeah, it's nice. We take that, but we also apply other things. What I learned in my suffering is not just for my benefit, it's for yours. Because now I become a resource in your hands. There are things that God has done in my life that I'm quite certain had nothing to do with me and had everything to do with my ability to help others. My mother-in-law brought this up at the lunch yesterday at the conference. There was another round of freezing evictions, and now they're releasing that to where they can evict people again. She goes, aren't you glad you're not in this business anymore? And I, absolutely. Because number one, I want you to try to wrap your head around the idea of signing an eviction notice on somebody. That is awful. Right? How do you do that? How do you sleep at night? A lot of times I didn't. I'm just going to throw that out there. And I sat there and we were talking back and forth. I said, listen, there was a lot of things that broke my heart and caused me stress and caused me pain that I needed before the Lord put me into a pastorate. There was some suffering I had to see from other people's lives. There was some avenues that I had to go down to teach me, to reveal to me things before I could even step up and take the pastor out. It was necessary, but it was awful. I think there's a lot of things that I've seen, and I'm like, I don't think I'm ever going to need that. And then in the last couple of years, I go, I know exactly why I had to be there for that. I know exactly why I had to be there, because here is somebody going through a situation. Here is something that I see in Scripture that I can go and I can be a help to somebody in. We get calls all the time. Hey, do you guys do rent assistance? You know what I'm saying? Because basically what will happen is you go to your landlord, you can't pay the rent. And the landlord, if they're skeevy, will say, call around to a bunch of churches. They've always got money. And I love those phone calls, because you want to know why? Because I know exactly what they should do. No, we're not set up to do that, but silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, this is what you need to do. You need to do this, and you need to do that, and I can share a word of faith. I can do that. Hey, listen, you call these guys over here. Now, what's going on? What have they done? Okay, this is what you need to do. They can't make a deal with you, but if you got a court date? Yeah, I got a court date. Go to the court date. Tell them what you can pay. It'll become mandatory. Well, how come they don't just do it? Because legally they can't. So I've never sat at court and had a judge tell me, well, this is the payment plan, and been upset by that. Why? Because I don't want anybody to suffer like that. But legally I can't make a deal for you and... I can't make a deal for you and not make a deal for other people. If I've evicted one person, I've got to do all the same way, right? It's fair housing. But if a judge says, no, you're going to give them X amount of time, you're going to get them paid this much, I was excited. Why? Because that's a happy ending for me, right? We had millions of dollars. It didn't matter if somebody was a little far behind. So I got to do it. We got to do a good deed. We got to work something out for somebody. So this is what you need to do. And I know that you're just calling us for help. but the biggest help that you need, and you go on and you give them the gospel. I'm like, man. I mean, that is the number one call we've been getting lately, help with rent. What a funny little thing for someone like me to be able to step in and do. I was talking to somebody from the apartments before. They're like, so you've kind of stepped to the other side. I go, kind of. It's nice to be a help to those who are sitting there going, I don't know what to do. Folks, we have the ability to plug into our church and make our sufferings matter to more than just us. The lessons that we've learned and the comfort that we've received doesn't just belong to us. I can then turn around and help others. And do you see how wonderful church membership becomes then? Because now we're all active participants in helping each other. Oh, how wonderful. But many a church, they're cold. I keep my sufferings to myself. I keep my struggles to myself. And if I see you struggling, well, pal, that's your business. And I'll pray for you. But if we would all bear each other's burdens as we're commanded to take the lessons that we've learned and share them. Oh, and be bold enough that when somebody is sharing something with us, we accept it. Hey, you okay? I'm fine. Okay. Hey, you okay? I'm fine. Okay. Oh, I'm fine. Everything's dandy, but inside, we need comfort. Inside, we're not okay. Well, hey, you want to get together? Maybe we'll have a cup of coffee. No, I'm fine. I'm okay. Take the comfort. Take it. I don't know what it is about our twisted sin nature that demands that when we are feeling lonely, we put ourselves into lonely situations. I don't understand what it is about our sin nature that when we're depressed, we lock the door, shut the windows, put the shades up, and sit alone in a dark room. Why do we want to do the thing that causes the thing instead of obeying the Lord and reaching out? So we understand that a great amount of comfort can be given to us in our suffering, and we ought to avail ourselves to it. We also know that once we have gone through it and we've received that comfort, it is upon us to then share what we have garnered from that time of suffering with others. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Fast forward through the book a little bit. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, and that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. That sounds very complicated. Why would Paul refer to the man that he knew that either in the body or out of the body was caught up into the third heaven? Why would he say, well, I glory in that man, but I don't glory in my things. The things that I glory in are my infirmities. And he brings up this thorn in his flesh. And there's been a lot of debate about the thorn in the flesh. If you want to know, I firmly believe that when he lost his eyesight, he never fully gained it back. I believe that it was restored to him enough, but there was still some issues. Now, that there also could be, and I'm okay with this, that of many of the times where he was beaten or whipped apart, he still struggled. Maybe there was a lasting thing. As you read through the scriptures, these descriptions of Paul that he gives of himself, that he had a lot of struggles. There was a lot of things physically that he maintained in his body from the hard life that he's living. I asked the Lord 3 times. Hoping he'd take it away. And what he said to me, or what I learned from this, was that his strength is sufficient for me. And that I have learned that when I am the weakest, then I am stronger. Because without a certain amount of infirmity, our heads would get puffed up. You ever, and I'd like to say I've learned this, but I don't think I've ever really learned anything from it and changed my actions. You know what I'm saying? You know, I can learn something, but you're not doing it. I learned that sometimes I don't slow down. Some of you are exactly like this. You don't slow down. You do and you do and you do and you do and you fill every minute of every day of things to do. And when the Lord says you ought to rest, you don't rest. So guess what he does? He brings something by to make you rest. To make you appreciate the things that you can do. To sort your priorities. What kind of a person would you be? Think about this, and we're about done for Sunday school, but think about this for a moment. If everything you put your hand to do went well, what kind of a human being would that make you? Would you be tempted to pride? Would you be tempted to arrogance? Perhaps. What if everything you set out for spiritually happened? Think of the things that Paul was doing. Going from church to church, going from area to area, preaching the gospel, people being saved all over the place. By many stretch of the imagination, he was a successful evangelist in his work. You take that and you put that on any person out there, what happens to their ego? Every now and then the Lord comes by with a needle and just pops that ego. Puts us on our backs so we can remember how great it is to be on our feet. Puts us on our back to remember the purpose of us being able to be on our feet. So we glory in those. There was a time, and Pastor Hugin, it was with Katie. His youngest child then, right? It was his daughter, and I don't know. She developed these absence seizures, and it was a very scary time for everyone, because we all love that little girl. Found out she had a small tumor in her brain. It wasn't cancerous, but they had to remove it. And I remember him saying, I can't wait to see what God does in this situation. And as somebody who is just about to start a family, that rocked my world. Because if it were me, I'd be terrified. If it were me, I'd be falling apart. If it'd be me, I'd be on my knees begging God, Lord, please help me, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Just losing my mind. And there he was. I can't wait to see what the Lord's going to do in this situation. And you know what? It was benign. They took it out. She's lived a life. She's about to have her second baby. She's okay. There's zero effects from that. And I sat there and I think only God could pull something like that off. Oh, brother, that happens every day. Yeah. Ain't God good? You're telling me you got a bunch of people out there and of all the people that got away with, I don't know. But I will say this. That in our weakest moments, then we get to be strong. Because it is easy. It is light lifting to serve the Lord when everything is going well. It's easy to keep up with your prayers when there's no trouble. It's easy to give the gospel it is easy to serve the Lord. These things are easy things, as Brother Dennis brought up. It's not hard to share your faith. But when it's hard, when life is hard, when there's struggles, and you're still serving Him, that's real strength. And only God can give us that kind of a strength. So we need to go to Him. Take our comfort from Him. Share it. And it sounds perverse to say to glory in your sufferings, but look for the hand of God in your troubles. Look for what He's about to do. And I tell you what, there's a certain comfort that comes to that when you know God's going to move at any moment and you're going to get to see what He does. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.